Hello and welcome. We are now going to do our second video for today's lecture, which relates to offers. Remember, last time we spoke of constitutions, what the law is, we spoke about rights, and then the very last time we spoke about what the three branches of government do, how government actually creates and enforces and interprets laws. Tonight, we will be speaking on contracts. We're diving into the wonderful world of contracts. And last time, we spoke on rights and contracts, what the founders thought of it, how contracts reside, the law of contracts resides in the common law. It's case law, it's state law. Regarding contracts. We defined what a contract is. We talked about the elements and the nature of contracts. Right now, we're going to jump into what certain element of those contracts, which is the offer. And what is its definition? What's its requirements? How do you terminate an offer? And our next lecture, we're going to go into acceptances. Remember, we have contracts coming out of the common law. And what is a contract? If you remember what the definition of a contract, it's an agreement between two or more parties creating obligations that are enforceable or otherwise recognizable at law. You have to have competent parties. You have to have genuine assent to constitute that agreement. It's got to be for a lawful subject matter. These are the elements of a contract. It's got to be an agreement. It's got to be between competent parties. It's got to be based on genuine assent. It's got to be supported by consideration for a lawful purpose, and it's got to be in a legal format. What's the definition of an offer? I mean, as you know, a contract involves an agreement. Well, how do you make an agreement? You make that agreement by having an offer and an acceptance. A foundational element of the contract is that agreement. And in order to establish that you have an agreement, you need an offer and you need an acceptance. It's a two-part dance. You need them both. The two of them are like magnets. They're drawn together. You have an offer and you have an acceptance. Well, to really understand that, well, what is an offer? Black's Law Dictionary defines offer as an act or instance of presenting something for acceptance. Well, that's kind of a backwards definition, but you do it by means of a promise to do or refrain something in the future, conditioned upon an act, forbearance, or return promise. So basically, it's you're saying, I'll do this if you do that. I'll do this if you do that. That's what an offer is. It's a promise in return for a promise. It's in the future because the contract has not been executed yet. It has not been agreed to yet. You're making that offer. When a person makes that offer, they're indicating that they're willing to be immediately bound by the other person's acceptance without further negotiations. If you do this, I will do that. There's no conditions on that. If you do this and I'll think about it, then I'll do that. That's not an offer. An offer is, if you do this, I will do that. It's definite. Let's talk about the requirements of an offer. It's a contractual intention. I mean to want to enter a contract. It's definite, and I have to communicate it. I can't just think about it. I have to let you know about it. What's contractual intention? It's a threshold element. The offeror, by their offer, must intend to create a binding agreement. That's the purpose of the offer. I want to ask you if you will do this in return for you doing that. And by making that offer and you doing that, we have a valid contract that both of us can enforce. This intention is determined by what a reasonable person would see. And that reasonable objective standard would make a person who was ordinarily understanding, hey, that's what he's asking me to do, that's what she wants me to do, then guess what? That is what it is viewed through. When there's no contractual intention, there's no valid offer. You have to make the offer intending to make an agreement. That's what it's part of. An invitation to negotiate is not an offer because there's no contractual intention. If you go up to somebody and say, hey, you want to talk about having you cut my lawn? That's not an offer. An agreement to make a contract at a future date is not an offer. Say, you know, why don't we contract about cutting the lawn next week? That's not an offer. You have to say, will you cut my lawn and I'll give you $100. That is an offer. Why? You want to enter into a valid contract, into a binding agreement. It's got to be definite. It can't be amorphous. This is a further threshold because it's got to be definite in its terms to create a contract, because both sides have to have a genuine assent. And in order to have that genuine assent, you have to understand what the offer is and what your duties and rights and obligations under the contract are. So the offeror, by their offer, must express definite and understandable terms, which are cleared and spelled out, as again determined by a reasonable person. Now, definiteness doesn't mean unquestionably perfect, okay? The contract can admit minor or ministerial or non-material or non-essential items and still be enforceable. If I say, hey, will you cut my lawn? And you say to yourself, well, he didn't say whether or not I should cut it going this way or going this way. Well, that's basically immaterial. As long as you cut the grass, it doesn't matter whether you go this way or that way. Now, at the end of the day, if I turn around and say, I'm not going to pay you because you didn't go this way, you went that way. Well, that wasn't specified in the offer, and I can't refuse to pay you. That's then a breach of contract on my behalf. But if I leave that out, I can't enforce you to do it that specified way. But that doesn't mean that the contract to cut the grass, if you cut the grass, isn't enforceable. Okay, so it's got to be clear and understandable terms. I can't turn around and say, hey, will you do my lawn and you use a weed whacker and I don't like the job you did. Well, guess what? I didn't specify that, but you still did it. So at the end of the day, it's got to be understandable terms by both parties. And I'll turn around and say, I got a lawnmower in the back. Please cut my grass with it. And you basically can do it any way you want. If I say, I got a lawnmower in the back, I want you to cut it. I want you to do weed whacking. I want you to turn around and cut it with horizontal strips. I want to make sure that you use the bagger with it. I put all those terms in it, and you then turn around and follow all those terms. We have an agreement. We have a valid contract, okay? It's got to be definite. Now, contracts can have exceptions to definiteness. When a contract is definite by incorporation, I can turn around and hand you a lawn cutting manual and say, I want it cut pursuant to this manual. Read the book. Okay? Or implied terms. When I say cut my lawn, I don't mean to use the scissors so it takes you all day. I mean to use the lawnmower. Okay? Best efforts. You cut the grass, you do a beautiful job, and by your best effort, that's an agreement, okay? Even though you didn't do it horizontally the way that I particularly love, okay? By the way, I really don't care how long it's cut. Divisible contracts. Contracts can be separated into parts as well, and that's an exception to definiteness. And there is something called a market necessary contract where certain situations, the practical necessity of doing business means you don't have all the answers right away. And as a result of that, you know you will at a later date, but the fact that you don't know it now means that it isn't a valid contract. It is a valid contract as long as you will know it by the time that either it gets performed or the time the payment's got to be made, okay? And that everything is satisfied. Now, next, you got to communicate the offer. The offer's got to be clearly communicated by the offeror to the offeree. There's generally no contract just by performance. So if you show up one day and just cut my grass and I don't ask you to, that's not a contract. And it doesn't constitute unjust enrichment if I never asked you. Okay? So just by performing doesn't make a contract. It's kind of like the guy who stands there on the street corner with the squeegee and washes your window. You're under no obligation to pay that person, particularly since frequently they make the window worse. But that being said, just performing something doesn't obligate you legally because you never agreed to anything. It must be both parties. You must make the offer and they must make it an acceptance, okay? You have to have an actual conveyance of the offer. It must be clearly communicated to the offeree to constitute a valid offer. Communication of an offer must be intentional, actual, not just inferred. Geez, you should know my lawn was long and you should have known I wanted you to cut it. Well, that's not an offer. You have to say, will you cut my lawn? Okay. Mere acceptance, the same way as performance, is not sufficient. The offeree cannot accept a purported offer. If knowledge of the offer was given to you by a third party, somebody said, you know, Bob Farley wants his lawn cut, and you show up and cut the lawn, I never communicated that to you. I may have even wanted my lawn cut, but unless I told you or communicated that to you by some means from me, like I wrote you a letter, sent you an email, something like that, without that, there's no offer. I have to communicate it. It's got to come from me to you. It's got to go from the promisor to the promisee, and it's got to be directly communicated. Now, how do you end an offer? Offers are not forever. Let's talk about that because it's important to know how long that offer remains open. Generally, an offer can be terminated so as not to support a valid contract, and it can be terminated any time before the contract's performed. So where an offer has been terminated, there is no valid offer. This means there's no valid contract, because unless you have a valid offer, you don't have a valid contract. And a terminated offer is a non-valid offer. Offers can be terminated by many manners, and we'll go through each one of these. Revocation, counteroffer, rejection, lapse of time, death or disability, or subsequent illegality. Revocation. A revocation is where the offeror goes to the offeree and says, you know what, I revoked that offer. I've changed my mind. I don't want that to happen. You have to communicate that. You have the same way as you communicated the offer, you got to communicate the revocation. Now, if you make the offer orally, can you make the revocation by email? Sure, you can. If you make it in writing, can you turn around and make it in writing? Sure. Okay, so the means of the revocation just has to show that you've revoked the offer. Okay, what constitutes a revocation? Most times, all that is required for the offer to revoke the offer is to say, I want to revoke it. A promise to keep an offer open, by the way, without consideration, is unenforceable. You can pay somebody to keep an offer open, but guess what? Without that, he can always change their mind. Okay? An offer is open until it's not. Now, there are exceptions to the revocation rule where you did pay for a offer to remain open. It's got to be remained open, or otherwise that person's in breach, because that offer to keep open by means of consideration is itself a contract. What are some of the other exceptions? Because otherwise I can revocate at any time. An option contract, which are a specified period of contract, which say certain offers can include a non-revocable promise, or a firm offer, which is irrevocable for a stated period of time. Again, this requires consideration. Those are contracts. That's why you have a non-revocation provision. It's not merely just a promise without an acceptance. It's a promise to keep open the promise. So that in itself is a contract. That offer cannot be revoked because you've made a contract not to revoke it. As we said, the communication has to take place and the offeree has to receive that communication. You can't just turn around and suggest, hey, I revoked it. Well, if there wasn't a sufficient communication, it was never revoked. Counteroffer. What happens when an offeree, a person to whom the promise is made, says, you know, I can't cut your lawn tomorrow, but I can cut it on Thursday. Well, that's a counteroffer. And a counteroffer is a rejection of the offer. Instead of accepting the offer, you make your new offer. It's a new offer. And that new offer is a proposal. Instead of the offeree, you're now the offeror, and you change what you're offering. A rejection of the offer is a communication that you're terminating the offer, that you don't want the offer. So the offeree says, I don't want to cut your lawn. I'm not doing your lawn. I don't like your lawn. It's up the side of the hill. I don't want to cut it. Today's too hot. I don't want to do it. So a counteroffer is a rejection of the offer and a new proposal, offering themselves something different. A rejection is just simply, I don't want to do it, and we don't have an agreement. Lapse of time. If I say, I want you to cut my lawn tomorrow, and you just don't do it, that's a rejection of the offer because there's been a lapse of time. I said, I want this done by X date. You never responded. That's a lapse of time. The offer's over. Now, what happens if there is no specified date? Then generally that lapse of time occurs after a reasonable period of time. If I say, will you cut my lawn and you don't show up for 2 months, that's a reasonable period of time to say, hey, listen, that lapsed. I got somebody else to do the job, okay? So courts have applied a reasonable time frame when there is no specified time frame in the offer. The offer has to specify a specific date if you want to hold them to it. So if I say, please cut my lawn tomorrow and you don't cut it, then that is the clear lapse of time when you don't show up by tomorrow. Similarly, death or disability, which eliminates the possibility of the contract being performed because then a dead person or someone who is disabled, who is mentally incompetent, for example, cannot have the ability to make the agreement. So as a result of that, death or disability terminates an offer too, either the death of the offerer or the death of the offeree, similarly, the disability of those people becoming mentally incompetent because they cannot have an agreement, because that's an impossibility of lack of capacity as a result. Subsequent illegality. A contract cannot go forward if at the time that you made the offer, it was legal, but then at the time of performance, it becomes illegal. To give an example, let's say I place an order to buy 600 pounds of a fertilizer, which was between the time that I went to offer to buy it to the time that you wanted to deliver it, it actually got ruled as illegal by the Environmental Protection Agency as something that has to be taken off the market. That's subsequently illegal. They can't sell it anymore. As a result of that, it is not an offer anymore. They're not going to be able to accept my offer to buy it. They can't turn around and deliver the product. Similar things happen when if I make an offer to sell or to buy something from you, and only people with a specified license can sell it. Well, if the state institutes that licensing requirement in between the time that I made the offer, that offer is terminated. Why? Because he cannot go forward with it. It's a change in the law that makes the contract an impossibility. That automatically terminates the offer. Termination of an offer, revocation prior to acceptance by the offeror, death or incapacity of the offeror, true or the offeree, true limitations placed in the offer by the or time limitations placed in the offer, so it's a lapse of time rather by the offeror. Those are all termination of the offer by the offeror. Rejection, counteroffer, or death of capacity or incapacity by the offeree. Those are all rejections and as a result, terminate an offer by the offeree. Remember, it's a two-step dance. You have offers and you have acceptance. You have to have a binding agreement, a genuine assent, in order to create a contract. The first part of that dance is the offer. Now we're going to go into the second part of that dance, which is the acceptance. See you next time.